So I'm feeling super, super anxious today. And I think for me, and I've no idea whether this is the same for you personally, but I think it's quite a universal thing. My anxiety goes up when I don't have control of a situation. So hyper-independence is a stress response, as I'm well aware, and as I tell many of my clients very regularly. So when we feel like we have to do everything we say ourselves, when we feel like we can't rely on other people, where does this hyper-independence come from? It's a strange thing, isn't it? Because it often comes from being let down by people, being let down by parents, partners, siblings, work colleagues, close friends. We are let down by somebody, or often multiple people, in really big ways. And then we feel, well, you know, the only way to stay safe then is to do everything ourselves. And that's where the stress response comes in, because then we don't feel able to ask for help. We are so used to doing our things ourselves that we don't know how to start trusting to ask other people. And, you know, I am definitely in this zone myself. It was interesting with my book. Although I've worked with a publisher, I really have done a lot of it myself. I did trust some students to read it for me at various stages, which was really helpful. But a real critical point came with the book cover. So many people had said, you need to have your desk on the book cover. That's what we associate you with, is your photographs of your cards, your scrappy old cards on your desk. So I'd asked the publisher, I'd said, this is what I wanted. And they basically sent me this very complicated email explaining the format the photograph had to be in. And I had no idea what this meant. Of course, me being me, instead of asking for help, I then went online. I'm trying to untangle, what does this mean? What, you know, how many pixels is this? What colour ratio is this? Madness. I quickly worked out that no matter how hard I tried with my phone, there was no way that I could convert my phone. Believe me, I did try. There was no way I could convert my photographs to what they wanted. So I was then left, you know, phoning a friend and saying, do you know what this means? Can you help? And effectively, the friend was here an hour later with a ridiculously large camera, taking the photographs for me. It really didn't take long. The desk was all set up. He just snapped some shots, emailed them to me, and the job was done. A job that would probably have taken me, I could probably have done it, you know, somehow rented a camera, I don't know. But it would have taken so much energy and so much effort, when by just reaching out, asking someone that I knew had an interest in cameras, and just getting the job done super quickly. So this hyper-independence, it is a problem. It is a stress response. Think to yourself, do you struggle to ask for help when you need it? Are you the kind of person that just pushes on and does things on your own? Even when, and I know this happens in my life, and I've seen it mirrored so many times in clients, even in your own home. You know, do you, if you're not feeling particularly well, do you cook the dinner rather than asking a partner or older children, you know, to cook the dinner for you, or, you know, rather than asking for help? Just be aware of it. It's something I think that's often overlooked. And honestly, women do suffer from this the most. And it tends to be, I'm going to be really specific here, it tends to be on the result of a relationship, that women feel that, you know, a part of being in the relationship is doing everything that needs to be done. And then they kind of get left in that zone, either within the relationship or after the relationship's ended. They've got this concept that they have to be strong, they have to be tough, they need to be independent, they can't ask for help. So, I mean, for me, today is quite a difficult day for me for two very specific reasons that I just can't control. I can't do them on my own. One of which is pretty scary in the UK at the moment with price costs, is I've got my rent review. I rent a home, and, you know, they're coming to the biannual inspection and rent review, and that feels really scary because I know that my rent will go up. And I don't know by how much. And I know that I have no control over this. So that's the first thing that makes me anxious. And the second thing is with the book. I mean, I've enjoyed writing the book. I am working with a publisher, but I am self-publishing. So I'm working with the publisher, but it's not a publishing deal. I decided that I wanted more autonomy because obviously I have that independence need. But I'm still having to work with the publisher, and I'm getting, I've asked for all the final numbers to be crunched on royalties and costings, etc. And I mean, I've self-published on Amazon before, and of course, I was always able to take control of everything myself. I was able to tweak numbers and make it work the way I want to. And I have an awful feeling that I don't have that freedom now. And I mean, I'm waiting for the final email today, but I may well, in the UK certainly, I may well be selling the book myself via my website to make the numbers work better for me. It's no great surprise that Amazon take an awful lot of the percentage of the book, much as we love Amazon for its ease. It effectively, based on the numbers that I've done right now, it's not worth me selling the book on Amazon, which is crazy. And I think if I'd done it myself, I would have constantly tweaked the numbers and probably found a way to make it better work. But when you work with a publishing house, it's a bit more like the Titanic. They don't change easily. They don't adapt. They don't evolve. They have a certain way of doing it. And you have to fall into alignment with them. And that makes me really anxious. So, you know, what I was going to suggest is if you're in a similar situation, if you are feeling anxious because you are out of control over different areas of your life, if you're in paid employment, this definitely may be affecting you. Certainly in the UK, price rises are going crazy, so you may feel that you're out of control with the sort of the political climate. You may feel out of control within your relationship, which is, you know, I've been there. It's a horrible place. You may feel out of control because loved ones are needing more from you than you can give right now. And if you are feeling out of control, my best bit of advice is, and I call this practical magic, work out what you are in control of and do some work there. This can mean tidying a room, cleaning a room, watering plants, doing a little bit of gardening. And this can be pleasant things as well, like, you know, rearranging a bookcase, or one of the things I often do when I'm in this state of mind, I've got a lot of pot plants in my bedroom and I often sort of take them all down, spray them with, you know, with water on their leaves, water them carefully in the bath, and just taking the time to care for my pot plants, it makes me feel like I'm in control of something that's controllable. So, you know, it's quite a simple ratio, really. If you feel that your life is dominated right now, as I do today, by things that are out of your control, I really don't have any control over the ratios and numbers that my publisher work with. The only thing I can do is to bring the book onto my website, which I may or may not do. I don't have any control over my rent. That's the problem with renting. And so today I'm going to be writing a blog. I am going to be watering my seeds in the garden. I will probably water my plants. I may well organise a bookshelf. It's a job I love doing. It's about thinking to yourself by doing pleasant jobs, nice jobs, even cleaning the kitchen, to be honest. You know, at least when you've done it, you can walk into the kitchen and smile and it's done. I have to be honest, with four teens using the kitchen, that's less of a long-term pleasure for me, because after about 5 minutes, believe me, it's trashed. But that, I think, is the key. When the outer world seems really scary, overwhelming and out of control, try and think about what you do have control over and work there. And of course, the bottom line is, the most powerful thing that you have control over is your own mind. I know we often don't feel it, and believe me, I too go into the overwhelm and the overthink, but we do have control over our own mind, or we can do. So if the overwhelm is extreme, then other things you can do. I mean, the most powerful thing I think you can do, and I call this vent journaling, is just get some paper, preferably not a book, just get some paper and just get it, write it all down. Just write down everything, even if it's just streams of consciousnesses of, fuck, it's not fair, I don't know what to do, I just can't cope. Even if it's like that, even if it's not coherent, just get it out of your head. And then when you finish, scrumple it all up, throw it in the bin or burn it, whatever suits best for you. And just get it out of your head, and then do something pleasant and distracting. I mean, I always find reading a fiction book really enjoyable, but for you that might be music or a computer game or going for a walk, you know, or doing some craft or doing some yoga. But it's the balance of stopping to get some of the crap out of your head and throwing it away, and then choosing consciously to do something you enjoy doing. And what you might find, and I always find with these sort of self-help tools, that getting a series of them in the right order is the best way to work. So if life's really tough today or right now, you might want to start with the vent journaling. You might want to start with just writing it and chucking it out. Then you might want to do something practical. You may still not be able to sit down and truly relax. So then you might want to do a job that you've wanted to do for some time, that will allow you to feel like you've achieved something. Now that could be as simple as doing the washing up. It could be as simple as checking your direct debits or clearing a side table or putting on a load of washing. But what that needs to be is achievable. Okay, you need to get to a point and think, oh, I've done that. Which is why, for example, you know, clearing your desk at the end of the day or doing the washing up last thing at night or first thing in the morning, you get to a point where you think, I've done that. And it gives you that sense of not all the world is scary and out of control. And then you can do something relaxing and nurturing just for you, which could be the book, reading a book, craft, yoga, going for a walk, watching an episode of Netflix. The thing is, if you try and do the relaxy bit without having got, you know, done the vent journaling or got the bad thoughts out of your head, you are sitting there, and I'm sure you've done this a million times, and I know I have, you are sitting there trying to relax, telling yourself that you need to switch off. You're trying to watch something on TV, or you're trying to play a game on your phone or read a book, but you're not really there. Round and round and round in your head are those annoying little thoughts that are just, you know, prodding you and bugging you all the time. So it's the worst of both worlds, because you're not relaxing because you're still quite anxious, but also you're not doing anything proactive. You're not achieving anything. And so having this sort of this series that you can work through where you vent, you get it on the paper, get it in the bin. Then you do a small task, and it could be, you know, and you know, often I know it's easy to think, and believe me, I get there myself, to think, I don't have the time to do this. You know, it's all very well for people that have got lots of time, but I don't have the time for this. Well, that small activity, think about it. That could be going into the kitchen, putting on the kettle to make a cup of tea, and just wiping the surfaces down whilst the kettle boils. So if time is really the issue in your life, and I get that, then you have to make these micro targets. So, you know, you could do this in 20 minutes. You could say to yourself, right, I'm going to spend 5 minutes. And believe me, 20 minutes is a, you know, on a working day, 20 minutes is a long break for me. You can just spend 5 minutes just writing, just getting it out, throw it in the bin, go into the kitchen, put the kettle on and wipe the surfaces down. Nice cup of tea, out into the garden, and just spend 10 minutes drinking the cup of tea. And actually, that is a fairly classic break for me. And clients will often then, if particularly if I'm seeing people in the caravan, people will then, you know, clients will come round and see me sitting out in the sun. And that is the end of my relaxation cycle, which, yeah, I mean, I perhaps don't do the vent journaling. I might be writing down, you know, things that I need to do, getting my anxiety into a to-do list. So, you know, try it. Life is so tough right now. I think so many of us feel that we don't have any control in our life. And the more that we engage with, I don't have any control in my life, the less control we have in our life. It's about stopping and thinking, right, what do I have control in? What do I have some control over in my life? And I'm going to focus some of my time and intention in that so that I can begin to feel that I have more control in my life. And when we think about books like The Secret and things like that, I mean, they're a bit woo-woo, they're a bit new age, they're quite generic. But the core truth is there. Where we focus our mind on will fill our attention. And if you focus your mind on your stress, your anxieties, and where you don't have any control, that will fill your attention out and it will feel bigger than it really is. And if you focus your attention on things that you do have control over, even if it's just your bookshelf and your pot plants, then you will feel like you have more control over your life.